Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary Seven Deadly Stems.
God.
The podcast about trees, sinning, and other related topics.
Exactly. Mostly about sinning, I'd say, honestly.
I'm one of your sinful, stemful hosts, Alex Croson.
And I am also a stemful host. My name's Casey Clapp.
Hello, Casey.
Hello, Alex.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited. I made a bit of a switcheroo on us, and I'm happy with it.
Oh, you had a little bit of a last minute.
Yes.
Tree change.
Correct. I was going to do one tree, and then I said, "Nay, I shall do a different tree."
How exciting!
Yes, and I made that call. Yesterday,
11 p.m. last night.
Whoopsies!
It's okay. I didn't prepare anything, so it's difference to me.
All right. Okay. And everything is working out all right.
Casey, this is, of course, the fifth of our seven deadly stems.
That is very correct, Alex. Only two more, and then, well, we're saved.
And then we all go to hell.
Everything's going to be fine.
Oh, I see.
Wait, what?
Tree hell. It's like a lumber yard. And this is, of course, greed, Casey.
That's right. This is one, Alex, that I think is probably, you know, I think we've talked about it a little bit. Some of these sins, I'm like, nah, is that really like that bad?
And I told you not to say this.
I know. I think greed's the worst.
Oh, this is the the worst connection?
This is the one I agree with the most.
Oh, like you like greed?
No, I think it
what
is.
What are you trying to say?
I think of all the things all the sloth, gluttony, wrath.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. All the seven deadly stems.
Supposed to be bad.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were like, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
I think greed is, in this case, I think in most cases, specifically one that is lamentable.
I agree.
Loathable.
I agreed, I guess.
I agreed. Good one. Thanks. Very good. You're on it today. You made a funny joke earlier.
I don't know about
it
that.
It took me a second to get it, and I was like, oh. I want you to share that when we introduce our tree.
Okay, well, let's do it right now.
All right.
It's perfect transition. Why are people from Moscow never late? Because they're always rushing.
Honestly, second best joke of all the ones you said today.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
I said, hey, today we're doing the Russian olive, Alex. And mm-hmm. You're like, okay, all right. Well, I'm glad we didn't do this one on sloth.
Yes.
And it took me a second because I was like, what is that? Huh?
That was kind of like a sister joke to the next one.
Yeah, which is good. So anyway, it's because for those of you who are also in my boat, because if you're Russian, you're not being sloth-like lazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was good, Alex. Shut up.
Today, we're doing the Russian olive. Wow. And that is hyphenated. And if you listen
Correct.
To this podcast, if you know a little something about trees and the way trees are named, taxonomy, a hyphenated tree is a false.
Tree.
Is a falsitry.
Yes.
So this is not an olive. It is the Russian not olive.
Correct. It looks like an olive. I don't believe it tastes like an olive.
Okay.
But it also, it's not as revered as an olive. In fact, the main reason as I was looking at the first tree that I had initially chose for this and then struck gold with this one, I was like, no, no, no. No, no, no. This absolutely is not a revered tree. It's
wow.
The exact opposite of a revered tree.
Incredible.
Everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, most people in the Western United States have a special, special place in their heart to hate this tree.
Amazing.
And so I was like, well, we got to give them a bone.
I can't wait, Casey. But before we do any of that, did you know that our podcast is supported fully by the people who listen to it?
That's you.
AKA listeners. That's right. If you want to become a Treemium member and support this podcast and get a lot of cool things in return, go to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. That's arbitrarypod.supercast.com. There are a few different options there. You can give a subscription as a gift. You can buy an annual subscription. You can do a monthly subscription. You can be in the Cone Club.
Yeah, the Cone Club is a place to be. We get new cones every single month. We send them out to you via the post. As Alex is famous to say, I lick all the envelopes.
That's right. And these are stickers, by the way, illustrated by an independent artist every month. All of them precious.
They are. They're really great. In fact, let's see. I'm trying to think of the ones that we have coming. I'm not going to tell anyone.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's about 630 species of conifer out
okay.
there. And right now we've done about 36.
Oh,
that's about, like, what, 5%?
Yep, we're working our way through them.
Yeah, we're working our way. So we have a lot more to come, is I guess what I'm saying. And every single one I'm very excited about. Alex does a great job. You pick out a new artist, and you usually say, artist, what kind of cone you want? And
yeah.
Some artists are like, no, do you have any cones you want to do? And we try to marry the style and the cone to create a synergy that's greater than the two parts combined.
Wow. I love it, Casey.
Yeah, thanks. I came up that one myself.
You know
and you know what else you can get on Treemium?
Is ad-free listening.
Uh-huh.
Bonus audio episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus video episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Interactive live streams.
Get X amount of percent off of our store.
That's right. As the British say, it's all here.
Everything's here.
Casey.
Alex.
Russian olive. We're talking greed today, but it must happen after a break. We'll be right back with our fifth deadly stem.
Speaking of greed, give us some money.
Oh yeah. Listen to some ads. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About, out now, wherever you get your pods. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary, Seven Deadly Stems. Today we are talking, Casey, you and I have rolled up on the crime scene.
Yeah, we sure have.
We walk in, and boy, it is just a sap bath, as they say.
It is. It's a sap bath, but also there's gold everywhere.
Interesting.
It's incredible. It's more silver, I suppose, but
and on on a pile of golden coins sits a flower of the Russian olive.
Which apparently is kind of nice, which is, that's fine. It's too bad. You want everything to be bad about a tree that's bad, but sometimes they're like, well, it is, you know.
You got to give credit where credit's due.
You got to give credit. I'm excited to tell you about this tree.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's get into it. Casey, let's imagine that you and I.
Yeah.
Well, I assume that we're in Russia.
I think we can technically be. Although.
Oh, but you did say that this was whatever the opposite of revered is.
Yes. It's reviled. Yes. Reviled. Yeah.
That's in the eastern of the United States.
In the western of the United States.
In the western of the United States.
Correct.
So let's imagine we're, I don't know, in Portland.
Okay.
We come across some Russian olive. Let's ID this tree.
It's funny, Alex, because of all the places you could choose, you kept on choosing the places where it doesn't cause any trouble.
I see.
But specifically in the drier eastern portions of Oregon,
okay,
as well as all the other western states in the drier areas. So essentially, if you're on the Portland side of the Cascades, not a big deal. If you are anywhere where it's relatively wet, not a giant deal. It also just doesn't really compete well with giant big conifers that we have.
Sure.
But if you are out in the middle of the high deserts, there's not a lot of water everywhere, and you have only like small shrubby-ish kinds of trees that grow, or maybe big giant cottonwoods that grow only in these nice little gullies and ditches and drainages.
Like 100 meters apart.
Yeah, exactly. That is where this tree causes the most trouble.
Wow.
This is the Eleagnus angustifolia, otherwise known as the Russian olive.
I honestly can just tell by the name that it's a troublemaker.
Yeah, it's almost like a little too fancy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Eleagnus angustifolia.
Totally.
And it was like, ah.
It's like Lord Baelish.
Yeah.
What are you the lord of?
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's just a name that you're just immediately like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's like Eleanthus, the tree of heaven.
Yes.
Though, Alex, I'm going to say it right now because I think that I want to set the stage and make sure everyone's understanding where I'm coming from today.
Oh, wow.
I think this tree is worse than the tree of heaven.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because the tree of heaven can get stopped by dryness. The Russian olive thrives in it.
Oh, my God. It was born in the dark.
It was, and it will die in the dark.
Oh, my God.
Or it will kill other things because they are in the dark. Anyway, I'm getting a little off topic.
Well, the stage is set.
The stage is set, and onto it walks Eleagnus angustifolia. And this is a species, as you noted, it's from, well, I guess we noted, it's from East Asia, but also West Asia and Europe. I've heard two different things, but because the tree is so positively good at growing places,
mm-hmm,
I'm not like fully sure where it is. And it grows as not a very big tree. Usually, I've read that between 15 in like plus or minus 3 meters is how big it gets. So essentially 30 feet is reasonable, but you can get some that are really big that get up to like 45 feet.
Okay.
That's really about it.
It's a medium tree.
It's a medium tree at best, small tree most of the time.
Okay.
In fact, Alex, I would say you can probably get away with calling it a large shrub most often.
Wow.
All of these. Okay. And you know what? I think we should just to be like, you know what? Shut up, you large shrub.
I like it.
Yeah, you greedy little bastard.
This ain't nothing but a large shrub.
Yeah, exactly. So it does have a very nice appearance, though. So it is, let's just assume it's grown as a tree. It has one or maybe a few stems that kind of grow up. It tends to not grow straight up, though. This could be that where it grows, which is like, again, these drainages kind of areas where you expect water to flood through during like heavy storms. I think they might tip over a little bit in that time, but for the most part, you can find them growing perfectly straight up like a normal ass tree. I've seen them more often than not with a stem that's coming out of the ground at like a 40 degree angle or a 30 degree angle, and then it curves up and becomes like a normal tree.
Is that like the ground is soft, so it kind of shifts?
I don't know. I think so. Like, that's my guess, but I haven't seen anything that specifically says like why it's growing this way.
Interesting.
Like, all the research, every article that you'll ever find is only talking about how positively invasive this tree is in the United States.
Okay.
It doesn't, very few at least, stop to say, well, it actually like grows kind of like this, or like this is the shape and this is the habit. Like, it only talks about it in these terms of like, you got to know how it grows,
sure,
because you got to identify it to like rip it out.
Right.
Or manage it in some form.
It definitely has like a media bias.
Yes.
It's like,
precisely.
It's hard to, you've talked about this before, and I always think it's really interesting. Like, if you try to research a tree that's like really hot for like one specific topic.
Yeah. Cherry blossoms. You know.
It's hard to find like basic information about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because every source is just about that topic.
Just about that one fancy, you know, fanatic thing about it.
Yeah.
Well, this tree is none the different. So whenever you walk up to it, the first thing you'll notice is that it is like a very light bluish, grayish, kind of like wispy shade of grayish green.
Yeah.
And it's very ephemeral to me. It looks a lot like the ghost pine, actually, where the colors are just that like kind of very grayish, bluish, greenish kind of sage kind of color that you mm-hmm. expect from the desert Southwest, which of course makes sense. This tree's growing out there all the time. So it adds to that, or really it means that its leaves have certain adaptations that mirror other adaptations for that area.
Sure.
Which makes sense. Okay, now you know why it's like so successful there, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out that these like very small scales are covering almost every bit of the tree.
Scales?
Yes, it's really strange. Like, it's hard to describe, but they are silvery from afar because their leaves and their twigs are covered in tiny, teeny tiny little scales that are almost reflective.
Oh, wow. It almost looks like a bloom.
Yes, it kind of does, but it's not quite the same. And I don't know what it is. I think it's just this like shiny bit on the epidermis of the actual leaves themselves and twigs, obviously.
But it's like all over.
It's all over.
It looks like it was like powdered or something.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. Yeah. And if you look up other species that are also planted, because there are a few others that are planted as... ornamental species that are not invasive, such as the autumn Eleagnus or autumn olive, which is Eleagnus umbellulata. If you look closely at the leaves, you can also see these like teeny tiny little scales, these brown or silver scales all over.
How strange.
Yeah, and it's a great ID characteristic because very few plants have anything like that. But it ends up making them somewhat reflective, but also they can still take in all the sunlight that they need. The photons will go into their leaves, they'll do photosynthesis, and they grow really fast. They are extremely successful because of this, like kind of this reflective kind of pattern that helps keep the sunlight and the heat down.
Oh, okay. So it's actually a better photosynthesizer because of this reflective material?
No, it's just better at not losing water is what it is.
Okay.
So it's just a little bit better at reflecting some of the light, which is, again, the ghost pine, a lot of different species in the desert Southwest. They have bloom on their leaves, mm-hmm. or they have some other kind of adaptation that makes them less likely to lose a bunch of water all the time.
It's almost like is it kind of comparable, maybe not exactly, to like UV protection or yeah. like sunscreen?
Yeah, that's a fair description, I okay. think. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I'm going to say, yeah. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, well done. So the leaves though are very long and lanceolate. They look like willows and they're alternately arranged going down these nice little twigs. Again, the twigs are covered in these scales, so they have this kind of effect as well.
So strange, Casey. I'm looking really at some weird. Like macro shots of these of this like fur.
Isn't it nice? It does. It looks like fur.
I don't like it.
I had to look up a few different resources to see if they are considered pubescent, and they are not. These are just scales. These are just like bits that come off of the epidermis of the twig and the leaves.
So it's like flaky skin almost?
Yeah, okay. I think that's perfect. That's a great description.
Gross.
Like you have flaky skin but zero hair.
I already hate this.
Nice. Okay, we're on a good route.
You know how they're like in media, there's like different styles of zombies? Like you have your like slow like Frankenstein walking zombies.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your like fast like vicious zombies.
Yeah, 28 days later sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a less often used one, but I've seen a few that's like dusty zombies.
Oh.
They're almost like halfway between like a mummy and a zombie.
Yeah, all right.
And they're like
right.
really like dusty and dirty.
Yeah.
And they move at a medium pace.
Yeah, they're a meandering kind of thing.
They skip.
Yeah.
But this is like, when I see this tree, I'm like, oh, I don't trust it. It's like dusty.
It's dusty. It's a little, it moves at a trot rather than a sprint.
It's cantering at me.
I think that is great. It's a great way to just like judge a tree right off the bat. Like, ooh, you look dirty.
Yeah, what kind of monster movie are you?
Yeah, right? That's how Alex judges all of his trees. What kind of monster? Actually, I wrote up the description for a tree called the black walnut. You may be familiar.
I love the black walnut.
And I actually, over the last wintertime, have been looking and taking pictures of their silhouettes because I have noticed you can identify a black walnut simply by looking at the silhouette of it in the wintertime and being like, ooh, that looks like a spooky tree.
Ah, sure, like a haunted house tree.
Exactly. I described it in the book as a You can tell it's a black walnut just by looking at the silhouette, which looks like the scary tree in every spooky scene you've ever seen.
Yes.
It's great. And I've even asked other people, I'm like, do you think that looks like that? And like, oh my God, yeah. And then I have tested it. I just drive around without doing any other ID things, like looking at the bark or something. I'm like, ooh, that tree over there looks like a scary tree that I'd see on the back of a movie poster for sure. Like some haunted house movie.
Dawn of the Dead or something.
Yeah. And inevitably, it's a black walnut.
Funny. Yeah, it's so, like if you Google royalty-free Halloween pictures.
Yeah, it's just a black walnut somewhere. So I think you basically saying, what kind of zombie would you be? That is right on par.
Yeah.
So once you get past looking at these adorable leaves and all these like fuzzy, not fuzzy, scaly twigs and everything, you'll notice that the bark is actually quite nice. This is another like half redeeming quality where it looks very willow-like, starts out well, relatively grayish brown,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts to like split itself apart and become fibrous, but then those fibrous like splits end up becoming these ridges that kind of serpentine up and crisscross with each other, with the outside being a little bit gray and the inside being a little bit brownish orange.
Okay.
Like, it's not bad.
Like a reverse, it sounds like a reverse ponderosa pine or something.
Yeah, I think that's a fair, reverse ponderosa pine, but without any scales at all. It's all very fibrous and long.
Also not like a pine and doesn't look anything like it.
But also reverse in that way. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. You know what? This is all about saying yes, Alex. You say yes.
Thanks.
And you continue on.
Yeah.
So that is, I think that's a fine, you can look at it and be like, okay, fine. I will take your bark and I will lay you on the ground and look at you before I throw you in a fire.
Yes, thank you. Burn the zombies. Or else they'll come back.
Now, I will say that the twigs also have thorns on it, which is just another great reason to be like, you douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not always, but many times, all of the individual thorns are maybe between like half an inch and an inch and a half or so. Like, pretty good size. They're going to get you.
Yeah.
And you can't just like walk through all of the little groves of this plant. Like, they will actively hurt.
They're formidable enough to make a difference in a fight.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, the big thing, though, that causes this tree to be like just a goddamn mess.
Yes.
Is the fruit. Now, before I get to the fruit, though, I'll mention the flowers that are these adorable yellow flowers. They have four petals, and apparently they smell wonderful.
Can I just say?
Yes.
These flowers are like the most basic, nothing flowers.
Wow, I'm so curious to hear that. I thought you were going to say, these are actually kind of nice.
I just think they look like they would just get everywhere.
Wow.
You know, like I guess it would be like late summer,
uh-huh.
or maybe early summer when all the flowers are falling off the trees.
Yeah.
And it's like just a fucking mess.
I mean, on
the sidewalks.
Yes. I like that mess personally.
Well, of course you do. But I imagine these kinds of flowers just getting everywhere and turning into a slush for like months.
All right, that's fair. I can agree with that.
I'm feeling a bit biased toward this tree.
Good, Alex.
But I'm gonna go with it.
Yeah, it's a greedy bastard. That's how I'm gonna describe it. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I guess that's fine. I thought they were kind of nice.
What do they smell like?
I don't know. I think I have only like red fragrant. So okay. That usually means they smell like flowers.
Sure. Floral.
Yes, exactly. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like general floral scent.
Yes.
For sure.
It's just, there is just a normal ass like generic flower smell.
Yes, it's mom's perfume.
Yeah.
Just like,
this is totally it. Like,
yep.
It's cherry trees, you know? It's like, oh, that doesn't have like a certain scent. Just like delicate. Lilac. Boom, you know exactly what lilac
sure,
is.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that's got its own thing.
You can bottle that.
Yeah, exactly. The rest of it, I'm so happy that I'm not the only one.
No, I think it's like this huge category of general flower smell.
Totally, yeah. This smells like that.
Okay.
Then, each one of those flowers, which there are many, as you noted,
mm-hmm.
will turn into a tiny little yellow droop-like fruit.
I knew it was a droop.
Everyone always does. Mm-hmm. It always classically is. Now, I should note, just real quick, I said it earlier, but it pays to say it again. These are alternately arranged down the stem.
Okay.
They look like willows. They look like olives. They have olive-like fruit-ish, but they are not oppositely arranged like the olive. I saw a video that said they're even in the same family as the olives. They are not. They are in the oleaster family, Eleagnaceae, not Oleaceae, which is the olive family.
That was a supercalifragilistic.
Yeah, it was Oleaceae. Yeah, wasn't that good? Yeah, they have their own family. They are in the oleasters, which is also another common name, I should say. They do call it oleaster.
Oleaster.
But these drupes are not olive-like in terms of flavor. They're mealy and kind of Swedish.
Okay.
Not Swedish as in from Sweden. Sweet-ish as in sweet kind of.
It tastes like tinned fish. Yeah, can I just say something?
Yeah, please comment.
This tree is such a pretender.
Whoa!
In fact, I think it's a Russian spy.
Oh my
pretending
God.
Pretending to be an olive, Casey.
They just are slowly sitting there. No, I'm a olive tree.
Look at my olives.
Why did you pause before you said olive?
Why'd you put air quotes around everything?
Yeah, what is going on? I can't trust this tree. Now, I should note, Alex, also that this fruit covered in little scales.
Wow.
Look closely. It's yellow with these little dots on it. Doot, 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 doot.
And does that grow like with the fruit? Or is it like grab it from the bud or something?
It doesn't really grow with it, but I think what happens is the fruit, of course, starts small. It's the ovary of the flower.
Yeah.
So it's on the base of that. Then as it grows bigger, they kind of separate themselves a little bit. Kind of like if you put dots on a balloon, then you blow the balloon up.
Oh, sure.
Their dots become spaced apart.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how it works. So they're all there usually covering the base of the flower, but then that expands out to become the fruit. So then they are just like wider spaced polka dots.
I see. Okay.
So the fruit apparently is not that bad. People eat it. It's actually been well used. And this is another kind of like a mark on the pro side of this tree.
Hmm.
As a medicinal plant with all sorts of different things in the leaves, but also as a food. So people would eat the actual olives, you know, in quotes,
sure,
elsewhere in the world, in Iran and in Eastern Asia. They're used. I think I also read that people make an ice cream or like a little kind of dessert out of it
because
it's just this sweet little mealy kind of mashy stuff.
Okay.
So it is in its homeland, a very fine plant. It's edible. It has good properties in its leaves that are medicinal. It's used. But again, like you said, it's got this media bias because if you move that plant with those fun little properties and you plant it out as the U.S. government suggested you do up until like not very long ago, plant it as a wildlife tree and in hedgerows and windbreaks because it grows really well in these really kind of dry and arid conditions where we wish we had great cow ranges. So let's just go out here. Let's plant this nice tree. And many different mammals will eat this very nice little fruit. Many different birds will eat this nice little fruit. It will then pass through their guts the way all these normal things do. A little bit of scarification, some stratification, which essentially means keep it cold for a little while. And then when it warms back up, it will pop off and grow.
Okay.
These seeds can stay dormant for like 3 or more years.
Ooh.
These plants will start making fruit by the time they're 3 to 5 years old, which is very young.
That's early.
That's really early.
Wow.
For what we normally call a tree, which again, leads you to think this is kind of a shrub.
We were talking about a tree a few weeks ago that was, it had to be 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. That
to
was
start making fruit.
That was our double coconut.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
So
quite a different tree, but
quite
still
a different tree,
and also not a tree.
Yeah. So it is. It's this the quintessential situation for an invasive plant. It's really good viable speeds. It makes a lot of them. Animals love them.
Mm-hmm.
Wild animals, specifically the ones that will poop them out all over the place.
Grows very fast.
Grows very fast and will very, very easily seed itself in.
Mm.
The reason it's good at that is because apparently it also will fix its own nitrogen in the soil.
Wow.
So it's got some relationship with nitrogen fixing bacteria in the soil with its roots. It's the perfect tree to just take over everything.
Yeah, it sort of has like, but it still needs that bacteria. It's not doing it by itself.
I assume so, yeah. I didn't find anything, again, like I said, specifically that was like, here is the thing that it's doing. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's a rhizobium or what the connection is there.
Interesting. But, and you said it can stay dormant for several years?
Only the seed.
See, that sounds like a sleeper agent to me.
I think it does.
This is a Russian spy, 100%.
This is a Russian spy. Everyone, don't go near it. Don't give it any information, and don't tell it your password.
This is the sage green scare.
That's nice. I like that.
Well, so dumb.
The reason, Alex...
Everybody forgive me.
No.
Please now.
No. I was moving on because everyone thought it was great, and I wanted to like have the applause die down while we move on through, right. You know?
Please clap. Do you remember that?
I do.
So funny.
So this, I should note that this tree was brought over to North America by people. It did not just randomly, hitch a ride or get brought over by some other means. People planted it and managed it and maintained it as a recommended tree for decades, at least, maybe centuries.
Grave
Certainly
mistake.
By the early 1900s, in the late 1800s, people were like, we got something on our hands here that is escaping cultivation, as they say.
Oh, escaping cultivation.
Yes, that is
it's broken
term.
Out of the lab.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Wow.
Like, we have so many non-native ornamental trees that are non-invasive that we can plant all over the place, and they do just fine, but they don't seed themselves in and take over. This is one of them that seeds itself in and takes over. It is a greedy little bastard that will grow and specifically do two main things.
Hmm.
The first is they will grow wherever there is just enough water, and they will outcompete other things that are also adapted to grow in places where there's just enough water.
Okay.
The other thing they do is they grow really dense. So they start to shade out everything, and no new things will grow back in.
Underneath them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, they're not allelopathic, so you're not going to find them like actively putting chemicals in the soil to affect other plants.
Right.
But they're just really good competitors. You cut them at the top, they will re-sprout again. They will grow underneath the shade of, say, cottonwood trees, which was the tree that I was initially going to use.
That's right.
For this episode. I was like, oh, cottonwoods, they just suck up water. They're so greedy.
Yeah.
Perfect. This tree will outcompete some cottonwoods.
Wow.
At least when they're young.
Sure.
They can. It's not
cottonwoods get big, big.
Oh, yeah. So cottonwoods normally would just crush the competition.
Yeah.
They get big, they grow really fast, and the Plains cottonwood, the Fremont cottonwood, all the cottonwoods that grow further inland than where our black cottonwood grows.
Mm-hmm.
Black cottonwood grows up, falls apart. People are like, I hate that tree.
But if a cottonwood and a Russian olive are starting cotyledons at the same place.
Oh yeah.
The Russian olive is going to crush it.
It might. I don't want to say that for sure. I have not seen anything that said 100% yes, that's what you have to do.
Well, it would certainly grow faster than a cottonwood, right?
Well, maybe not. Cottonwoods grow really fast, but what people have specifically noted, and I've noted that this has been in multiple different places, is that if a cottonwood dies, because they're not long-lived trees necessarily, if they snap in half or something or whatever happens,
they're
a change
kind of flimsy
in hydrology,
trees, right?
Well, that's the thing. Our black cottonwood out here, yes.
Okay.
But the cottonwoods that grow in the Great Basin, in the Intermountain West, and in the Great Plains, those are substantial trees.
Okay.
The Plains cottonwoods, the Fremonts, like, they are not going to just tip over. They're really tough. They grow where there's water, but they're like, they're built differently.
Sure.
Is the best way to put it. But if they die, if one breaks off because it's just a little bit too much of a drought, and they're big trees, so a little bit too much of a drought will cause them to die back pretty intensely.
Sure.
Then Russian olive will take over their niche, and they will not be able to go back into it.
Oh my God.
So it's more like the Russian olive is chilling there, waiting in the wings, the big thing falls, and now they become a little bit bigger, and now you can't get a new start coming up.
This is absolutely the Peter Baelish of trees.
Yes!
It's
waits
for the right political situation to just sneak in and crush its enemies.
Yeah, and it does this everywhere.
Wow.
It's in all of our national parks out here in the West. It is in many different state parks. I've seen it all over the state in all of my travels. And it's just, it's a constant just issue. Wherever there's just a little bit of water, this tree's probably going to be popping its way up, especially if it's a place that's not like constantly managed, where someone comes in and they're actively getting rid of the bad stuff.
Like a big national park or something.
Exactly.
You know, it's a shame, Case, because like if this tree if I saw this tree in its natural habitat and it was just playing nice with all the other trees,
yeah,
I would be like, oh, that's a nice looking tree. Right. How curious. That's, you know, I wish we could just enjoy some of these trees.
Yeah. I agree.
The tree of heaven is like not inherently like an ugly tree, but because of its practices and because of its personality,
yeah,
I look at it and I'm like, oh fuck, that tree, it's so nasty looking.
I know, it's like, you're not ugly, but what you say is ugly.
Totally, you're ugly on the inside. And like, if the black
God,
walnut,
you're beautiful.
if the black walnut, which I think is one of the most handsome trees in the game, mm-hmm. was like viciously invasive,
yeah,
I would probably look at it and go and shudder in my pants. That's not the phrase.
Yeah, that is the phrase now.
I would probably look at it and
I'm shuddering in my pants.
Shaking in my
officer.
Boots. Shaking in my boots.
Shuddering in
I
my
shudder
pants.
I shudder in my pants. I shake in my boots. And I quiver in my t-shirt.
Oh, he's basically a maraca.
Fully clothed maraca. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I just wish we could enjoy these plants, but yeah. We can't. And it's not their fault, but it's kind of our fault for bringing them here.
It is true, yeah. And so I had to wrestle with that because, of course, we are giving some personified idea to this plant. I still think it's a greedy bastard.
Yeah, I do too.
It's good at what it does, and at least I can say that I don't like it, and I think that it knows it. I think it's doing it on purpose. Wow. It found a niche, and it's like, oh yeah, baby, and taking over. Like, it sucks up all the water, all the space. Takes over entire places. It falls apart. It comes back up. I just think this tree's taking a little more than it deserves.
It's like interesting. I get more attention when I start bullying people.
Exactly.
I kind of like that feeling.
That's what I think.
All right, Casey. Well, we have to give a score to this greedy little bastard, as if it deserves it.
Yeah.
But we must do so after a break. We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary, Seven Deadly Stems. That was our discussion of the Russian olive. Casey.
Yes, Alex.
It's time to, I suppose, give this thing a score.
Yes.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on the tree and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as a resident expert, we'll begin with you.
All right. Thank you. I am very much concerned about this tree.
Wow.
I think that's the best way that I can say it.
You're going to call its parents into the principal office?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just because I think it's going down a bad path is what I think it is. And it's a tree that I think is vilified. It's vilified because it does bad things, and everyone's like, well, you are a bad tree. You did bring up the fact that it's a tree that we are on the level of, well, did we create it? This our doing? Like the arborvita? Mm-hmm. I fully hold that that's us. Like, it's a great tree. Even in its habitat, we just refuse to plant the great species variety.
That's a great example of that too. That's like a thing we constantly bring up. It's like,
yeah,
is it our fault or is it the tree's fault?
Yes. I think this is the tree's fault. We brought it here. Yes. We allowed this to happen. But you know, we also allowed Donald Trump to happen.
Wow.
And Donald Trump sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I don't think we can say, well, we created a monster. No, I think it was already a monster.
The monster existed.
We just kept feeding that monster what it wanted to eat until it became, you know, this giant, huge thing that ate everybody. I'm thinking of the No Face from that movie that we watched.
Spirited Away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a reflection of you.
Casey made a Spirited Away reference.
Look at me. I am fucking good.
What world is this?
I don't know. It's a Miyazaki world.
Hell yeah.
So I think that I've told you at the beginning, I think that this tree is probably worse than the Tree of Heaven.
Right.
The Tree of Heaven, I gave a 4.1.
Ah.
And I gave it a 4.1 because you walk around Portland and the Tree of Heaven really does have, like you said, a nice shape sometimes. Mm-hmm. It also is dioecious. So there are, if you separate the two sexes, then they actually don't cause any trouble.
Sure.
There's just, you know, that's never going to happen. But they have a really good, beautiful form. Like they do some good work. They are planted in some places where I'm like, yeah, you know, honestly, that tree's doing a really good job there. I would rather have a bad, stupid, dumb, you suck, I hate you Tree of Heaven in that spot because you cannot plant a tree that's going to do that well there ever again.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
So I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, I'll give it that. So I gave it a 4.1. Just as a reminder, you gave it a 1.0.
Fun.
But for the Russian olive, it's the exact opposite. Like, it's taking up space where better trees could be growing and doing at least the same job or a better job.
Mm-hmm.
The cottonwood is famous for being huge and creating wonderful habitat and surviving in really, like, not great situations. Then you have smaller actual willows that will grow in that space that will do really wonderful things. You go down to further to the southwest, there's a whole suite of different trees that grow in these exact habitats and do really good things. They are wonderful trees, and they don't invade and take over everything and keep everybody else out. They're all part of that that balance, which is why invasive species are a problem, because they throw off that balance.
And we saw what happens when you throw off the balance. You've seen Jurassic Park.
Yes, exactly. You bring in a giant, well-competing species, mm-hmm. and it eats your dog and all of your friends.
And your goat.
And your goats. So, for this tree, it's got thorns, which is kind of like a little bit, it's like just insult literally on top of injury, or perhaps injury on top of insult.
Sure.
So, I'm going to give this a 1.5.
Yeah.
I don't like this tree.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't want it around.
Yes.
And I believe it's a greedy bastard that's causing too much trouble. Take it down a notch.
I love it, Casey.
I think that you could stop the Tree of Heaven easier than you can stop this tree.
Mm.
This Tree of Heaven's blown by the wind. You cut it down and you're good to go. This one, the animals are going to take it everywhere.
Right. It seeds itself in. Is that what that means?
Well, they both seed themselves in. Like, that's a hallmark of being invasive.
Okay.
But this one uses animals to get it even further.
Oh, and Tree of Heaven does not.
Tree of Heaven does not. It depends entirely on the wind.
It's wind dispersal.
So if you take that away, then, or not the wind away, but you cut down a tree that's producing seeds, then great. Now you have one less thing to deal with. Whereas this, even if you get rid of all of the trees in a local area, a bird's going to come by and be like, yeah, well, I just pooped another one. Here you go.
Yeah.
And then you're just constantly dealing with it all over and over.
Two steps back.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I don't think I've ever had Russian olive oil, and I don't think it's going
to
be very good.
I don't want to. 1.1?
1.9.
1.9 golden cones of honor.
Yeah,
okay.
The reason I haven't gone lower is because, well, you know, at the end of the day, this is also in its native habitat, a very, you know, it's got some things. I bet you if we started taking the leaves off, we could get the benefits from that. You heard about this new kind of culinary idea of using invasive species and eating them?
Oh, no.
Yeah, people have done this with, like, nutria and, like, different invasive species around
here.
Oh,
as a way
here.
To, like, cull the population?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like, let's create a market for eating the bad invasive species until they're gone. And it's kind of fun with nutria. They're a little, like, beaver rat kind of things.
I feel like that's a losing game because they're gonna have way more babies than you can eat.
Yeah, for sure. And if they're not like really delicious, no one's really gonna want to have like, hi, can I get the nutria nuggets, please? Thank you. So
the pulled pork or the nutria.
I think it's got some redeeming qualities, which is why it's not a zero. I've also never given a zero because I guess sometimes I'd rather have tree than not tree, but I don't know. That kind of binary is hard for me.
I got you, Case. 1.9.
1.9 golden cones of honor for
great.
This silvery leafed tree.
Wonderful.
Which may or may not be listening.
Oh, like they're tapping our wire.
Blink twice, Alex. If everything is okay.
Okay. All the right, Russian olive.
To be clear, Alex, blink twice.
Yes, thank you. The Russian olive. You know, someone once said to us, Casey, I had never heard of your podcast before. And now that I do, I wish I hadn't.
What?
You know who said this.
Okay, yeah, I do.
This is how I feel about the Russian olive.
I'd never heard of you before, and I hate you.
I was living my life completely, blissfully ignorant of the Russian olive's existence.
Yeah, you go to a state park, you'd see this beautiful silvery leaf tree, and you'd be like, wow, look at that.
Yes. And you show up, you bring death and disease to my door, and then you know what? This episode will end, and it'll just leave. It'll just
go away again.
Back to normal life.
Yeah, for you.
Also, when you said that people can eat these, people do eat these.
Yeah.
I decided to do a little Googling of Russian olive recipes.
Yeah.
And a couple things came up.
Okay.
One of them is a Russian olive soup. It's a Russian soup.
Okay.
Traditional soup. It's called Solyanka.
I will say Russians do make killer soups. When all you have to do is eat borscht, then you're going to get damn good at making borscht.
Sure. Well, Casey, let me just tell you, I don't want to speak ill of other cultures' cuisine.
Okay.
I think it's a little more appropriate to do with white cultures as a white person, you know?
Okay.
Solyanka, Russian olive soup, might be one of the least appetizing things I've ever seen.
Really?
And it's not like a bad picture. You know, like you can make good food look really gross with a bad picture.
It definitely. You can make bad food look good with that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have seen plenty of high quality pictures of pickles and still,
well,
not good.
We differ on that.
Very untasty.
But this looks like a bowl of broth with floating eyeballs in it.
That is so good. I love that.
And I'm not super into that.
All right. Okay.
Also,
did you find the ice cream or the custard kind of version of this?
No, I don't see it. Okay. Some people make jams out of it.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard jams. I've seen it in like mixes of like traditional like locally harvested fruit for like certain festivals. And things
sure.
Like that.
I'm also seeing like a it's called an Olivier salad.
Okay. Yeah, I think that might be what I saw.
Which is like a potato salad with these chopped up in it. You know, it's fine. Invasive. It's a dusty zombie.
Yeah.
It's a Russian spy. It's a sleeper agent. So I don't like any part of this tree. Yeah. I don't think it's attractive.
Huh.
I don't like the leaves. I don't like the fruit.
Wow.
I don't like the bark.
Wow.
I don't like the thorns.
Mm-hmm.
I have no love for this tree.
Clearly.
My first ever 0.5 golden cones of honor.
Whoa, Alex. That's not even one.
It's a tree, so it gets on the scale.
Wow. Oh,
and remember, it's
God.
0 to 10 golden
it
cones
is
of honor.
0 to 10 golden cones of honor. We have yet to have a tree that is 0.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, might be our lowest. It
comes as close as possible.
0.5 and 1.9.
Yeah.
Jeez.
With an average of what, like about 1?
Yeah, that would be, well, more like 1.2 or 3.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So that's how I feel. I really do not like this tree. And I feel, you know, people might say, well, Alex, you've never experienced it. You know, you've never seen this tree in real life that you know of or whatever.
Very true.
But I feel after several years of this podcast that I have a pretty good, like, snap judgment.
Yeah.
You know, a pretty good radar for these things.
I think you're right. You've been very good so far. I'm quite happy.
I always imagine if I met, I say I always imagine, I'm coming up with this right now. I always imagine that if I met Peter Baelish in real life and he like introduced himself to me with a, you know, with a sweet smile and he was very quick-witted, I would be like, oh, fuck you. I can just tell you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, you could see how slimy he was from a mile away.
Yes, he's so not charming. That's how I feel about this tree.
Well, I do have one other thing. I need to make an adjustment, and I don't ever do this.
Wow.
It's the first time I'm going to do this in this situation.
What is it?
I'm going to change mine to 1.7.
Okay.
And I'm doing that because, I have a spreadsheet open right now,
mm-hmm.
and I was just curious because we're talking about, well, is this our lowest? And so I was just, doing some looking here.
Sure.
And I noticed that there's a tree that I ranked 1.8.
What was that?
That is the purple leaf plum.
Oh.
Which is a tree I hate, but
that doesn't deserve, yeah.
I will take the purple leaf plum 9 times out of 10.
Cool.
Or 1.8 times more. Then I will take this tree, which I will only take 1.7 times.
Fabulous.
Anyway, sorry about that. I just had to make sure, because someone's going to look it up. We get emails all the time from people just checking our work. And I don't want anyone to go through and say, well, I did the average on all of your worst trees.
Oh, you're a hypocrite.
It actually ranks up higher. Right. Like, da, da, da. Not today.
So this is officially the lowest ranking tree that we've ever covered.
I think it might be.
In 150-odd episodes.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think you might have that. I think collectively, because you gave the purple leaf plum a 1.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well as a couple other trees, by the way.
Well, we don't have any sort of, arboretum of dishonor.
But no, Casey, we don't, yeah.
Casey, I propose here and now, in the year of our Lord, 2024,
uh-huh.
that we officially break ground on the Arboretum of Dishonor.
All right. Can I propose a sound for
sure.
it? It's just a horn blast that's like, boom.
Like a fog horn.
Yeah, that's it. Just one.
That was our review of the Russian olive. To you, I say good riddance.
Yep. And if you see one in your neighborhood, please alert your authorities.
Casey, it is time for our completely arbitrary AMA.
All right.
If you want to ask a question of the podcast, become a Tremium member at arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Once you're on there, go over to that AMA, that's Ask Me Anything tab, and ask away. Casey.
What do we got today, Mr. Alex?
This one's from Caffeine.
Oh, Caffeine.
Caffeine said, what are your thoughts on the planned removal of Stumpy?
Oh, this is from last month, isn't it? When all the cherry blossoms were in bloom.
That's right. The fan favorite and unkillable cherry tree in Washington, D.C. And here's a little background. Stumpy is one of the cherry blossom festival trees that still flowers despite extreme damage.
Yep.
Officials plan to propagate Stumpy, though people are upset that they're not going to dig up and transplant the tree. I assume the latter is not a possibility due to root damage.
Yeah,
thanks. Very likely. Thank you, Caffeine.
All right, what a good question.
Now, I've never heard of Stumpy. It sounds like a bit of a hometown hero.
A little bit, yeah. Have you looked it up, Alex?
I'm about to.
All right, yeah, yeah. Get a good look. So, for those of you who are unfamiliar, Washington, D.C. has a, they call it the tidal basin, and it's this big, it looks like a giant kind of lake, and it is surrounded by the famous cherry blossoms, and it's a Yoshino cherry. They were, I think, donated to the United States from the mayor of Tokyo, or at least Japan at large. I think in 1912, something like that.
Wow.
So they are, they've been there for a long time, and they are kind of famous for being the cherry blossoms that everyone loves to go see. Sakura?
Sakura.
Ooh. Well, that's the name of it, but they're, I think it's like Sakura Hana or something like that. It's like the festival in Japan for going out and just looking at the cherry blossoms as they're coming.
Okay.
So it is, it's great, good for everyone. I'm all about it. I get the idea. I, as you know, find cherry blossoms to be a little bit overdone and fine.
A little trite.
They're great. They're beautiful. It's nice when you have a whole huge giant swath of plants that are just covered in and covering the space with this giant poof of white. It is an effective and quite catchy thing. Although, it's still a monocrop, but there's still better trees anyway, all those other caveats. back to
Stumpy
the question.
Casey.
Back to the question, and this is, it's all coming together. So they planted it.
Sure.
Says anyway. Shut up, Alex. So they planted all these things around this basin, and this basin used to just be essentially a bay. You would have normal tides coming up and then going down. And years ago, they made this giant seawall around the entire thing. So now it's like a caged lake.
Okay.
But that caged lake is in fact connected to the sea, which is in fact connected to the rest of the ocean and all those other things. It will rise and fall with the tides. Climate change. Have you heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. And now the seas and the tides are getting higher. So they're actually more consistently getting over the top of this initial wall and inundating all these cherry trees that are right next to it that were famously planted, you know, for this huge, big kind of, I don't know, just because that's what people did back then.
Mm-hmm.
Plant 10,000 trees all in the same spot and then never think about the fact that, oh, maybe, what if one of these gets a disease? Anyway. So, Stumpy is this famous tree that died off on half of it. So, they cut off all of except one branch. Yet, cherries are famous for just always blooming all the time.
Mm.
So, Stumpy is essentially a, 6 or 8 foot stem with one branch that comes off that splits and then blooms. It is the most pathetic looking thing you've ever seen in your life.
It's beautiful in its own way.
Exactly. It's great. It's like a bonsai where it looks completely horrific and then it has this one extraordinary bloom, you know?
It's a monument to resilience, Casey.
Exactly. I love it because of that. I think it should live like that. I pull for trees like this in the urban area all the time. I think it's silly that we would cut down trees just because they don't look like an archetypal perfect tree.
Sure.
Just let them grow. Let it do its thing. Plant another tree right next to it. And now you have two big, beautiful trees. You know, it's like, why does this one have to be perfect? Why don't you just plant another one next to it and let it grow? Of course, they can't because they are building up a new seawall that's going to be bigger, taller, stronger.
Okay.
So that the tides, rather than saying, oh, we got to stop the tides from getting high, we're just building a bigger wall. It's a very classic response in America to climate change. Yeah. So Stumpy, along with several other trees, are being removed, and they're rebuilding the seawall a little higher. And then my assumption is they're going to replant back, you guessed it, Yoshino cherries.
So the idea, the plan was to take a clipping off of Stumpy.
Yeah.
Go propagate it somewhere.
Yes.
Turn it into a, you know,
normal tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then remove Stumpy.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is like, well, what's the point?
Right.
In taking a cutting.
Just plant a new tree. It's purely performative.
It is. It is, which everyone's upset that they're doing this. They could. I guess I don't know for sure what the underground infrastructure is there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how deep the seawall like bank is, because whenever you build a wall that's like needs to stand up to something, there's a footing on that wall that goes out left and right. Then you fill up on the back of that with soil and everything that keeps the wall upright. So it's not just a simple vertical slab.
Sure.
So this could potentially be dug up. There are famous like people who pay millions of dollars to have people take giant trees and plant them so that they have a full grown tree wherever they deem they want one planted, just like that, snap of their fingers. In this case, we could do it. We have the technology to just walk over and take a big machine. It's called a tree spade, and you just pull it out. I don't know what the limitations are. I don't know if they thought about it. I don't know if they care.
Is it just cheaper to cut it down?
Oh, yeah. It's cheaper to just take a clipping off of it. All these Yoshino cherries are hybrids, and 90% of them are also going to be probably Akubano. Maybe not this one, but they're always usually propagated by cuttings anyway.
Mm.
So you could just take this one, cut it, stick it in some root hormone. Now you have a new cherry tree. You probably don't even need root hormone. And I am not... I'm kind of like, well, okay, whatever. Whenever like a tree dies and they take a cutting of it and then they replant it,
mm-hmm.
the genetics are the same, but the tree itself is completely different. Like
sure.
It's a small baby tree growing up that's 100% completely different than the big giant tree that you took it from.
Yes.
So the je ne sais quoi is no longer there.
Oh, sure.
Like, genetically, okay, yes, we can draw a line. But can we also draw a line genetically through seeds? Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I get it. There's a literal clone versus, you know, offspring. It just doesn't do it for me.
It's like a, I don't know. It just, it's, It's symbolic. Yes, symbolic. Yes.
So all that to say, now you know my opinion. I think Stumpy is great. These are the kinds of trees that I think people are all about. I have a chip on my shoulder because of like the everything around it, climate change,
sure,
the building of a construction, the lack of anyone actually wanting to do something and be like, you know what, let's dig that thing up. Like, let's save this one particular tree and make it really cool as a statement, plant it somewhere else, because we could do it. So all the little bits and parts around it that have all these nice little like shiny bits on it, I'm kind of like, no. This is a Band-Aid on top of something that we are just ignoring otherwise, or just refuse to like just put the effort towards. Like, you could have a bunch of people with shovels go over there and dig it up and move it by hand and it would probably survive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So those are my thoughts. I think the tree's great. I think Stumpy is its own hero for exactly the same reasons that you noted earlier. It's a resilient tree, and I think that's great.
It does seem to be well loved by the public.
Yeah, and that's great. So why don't we save it? Why don't we actually like save the tree? A cutting is not saving this tree.
The cutting is like the committee version of saving the tree. You know, it's like, what's a good compromise?
Yeah.
This thing that is not at all what everyone's asking for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is like, it's not a good compromise. It's a stupid compromise because it's not the thing.
It's just cheaper, so they'll pretend that it's like a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, whatever. I know it has to be removed. There is no possible way for them to rebuild this wall and keep this tree in place.
Thank you so much, Caffeine, for your question. And RIP, Stumpy, we love you. We'll always love you.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a question, like I said, join up on Completely Arbitrary Tremium. That's arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Lots of options there. Check out all the cool rewards you can get and support this podcast that you love so very much. Casey Clapp.
Great work today, Alex.
You too.
Very happy to hear that you despise this tree.
Yes, I certainly do, and likewise. Mm-hmm. And after talking about greed so much, don't you just feel like doing something for someone else?
Yeah.
Kind of poisons the heart, don't you think?
Ah, it does. It does. Yeah. You gotta. Well, we're almost done with our series. We only have two more.
It's shocking.
We only got two more.
Wow. And if we do the math there, we're talking. Let's see. We're talking pride.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see.
And we got envy.
Envy.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite.
I'm excited for it. I really am. Like, I think it's going to be my finest work.
Wow, Casey.
That's not true.
No, you said it and it's going to happen. Let's manifest it.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah, pride is also going to be a fun one. I'm very curious what everyone's going to think of pride. I think mostly you. Whenever I say anyone, it's just you, Alex.
Casey, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because I think it's going to be it's just going to be fun. Anticlimactic is, I think, the word that comes to mind.
Oh, perfect. My favorite. I love a flop ending. Yeah,
but no, it's not a flop ending. It's a flop. It's just all the other ones like, oh, here's this one. Oh, that's a clever theme. All that. And this one's like, oh, that? Oh,
okay.
Oh, well, that's all right. Okay. All right. Fine. It fits.
We'll treat it like a prologue.
or a prologue followed by, excuse me. Well, yeah, because it's second to last. Last is envy.
Okay.
Anyway, enough conversation.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the 7 Deadly Stems here on Completely Arbitrary. Hey, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.